Hi, this is Mike Podlesny, owner of Mike the Gardener Enterprises. I've been asked by BeePlans.com to put together this podcast on helping you, the small business owner, increase your social network following with the same techniques that I've used to build the largest vegetable gardening page on Facebook at over 30,000 followers. Some are fortunate and can build their following in no time with a large staff and budget. But if your small business is like mine with a small staff and an even smaller budget to dedicate towards building your social network following, then you'll need some techniques that can help you with a minimal cost. Listen in as I give you a few ideas from things I've done. Let's start with the obvious, your own friends list. Not all will want to join your page, but many will just because they know you. This is how I started my vegetable gardening page. I simply sent a request to every person on my friends list to come and join. This at least gets you started with having some people on your page. What this also does is when someone joins your page, and this is true whether it's a friend or some other random person, people on their friends list will see something to the effect of John Jones likes vegetable gardening, where the words vegetable gardening are a link back to your page. People are more likely to join a page if a friend is already a fan of it. It's one of the reasons why you will see on Facebook ads, and I'll get to Facebook ads in a moment, below the ad text saying, John Jones is also a fan of vegetable gardening, and then the like link is right there, making it easy for someone to join that page without ever having to actually visit the page. As for Facebook ads, and I could do an entire podcast on them, I wanted to touch on the important parts that can make them affordable and effective. Before you even run a single ad, know your audience. If you do not narrow down your audience to as close to your company's demographic as possible, your ad will be seen by thousands of people that could really care less about your company and what you sell, in turn wasting you money. We did extensive research from various reports, newspaper articles, and even government agencies that had the data we needed. We were able to narrow down to gender, age, marital status, income, number of children, and even the types of music and TV shows that were watched. The best part is that this research data was free, monetarily speaking. It did take time to pull up this data and put it together in a nice format that would make it easier for us to read. So what did all this data help us do? Well, because Facebook ads allows you to specifically target people based on who they are and what they like, this data allowed us to reach them specifically. Simply sending our ad in front of the eyes of people who liked vegetable gardening wasn't enough. We wanted to make sure our ad was being seen by vegetable gardening enthusiasts who fit the demographic of our research data. As with any type of advertising, use the A-B method, which tests the success of two or more different ad styles that essentially advertise the same thing. Using this method, we were able to see which ads worked for us and which ads did not. For instance, if we used a picture of a vegetable garden with our ad, the response rate was not that great. But if we used a picture of someone in the garden, it did really well, and if we put someone in the garden that looked directly at the camera, the response was through the roof. Your results may vary, but be sure to try different things. I found it best to have all of our Facebook ads point directly to our Facebook page as opposed to our website. We want to build loyalty among our social networks, which makes it easier to connect with the sale down the line. People are more likely to click like and follow your page than fill out a form on your landing page, and that gives you the ability to build that loyalty on a daily basis through postings on your page wall, which I'll get to in a moment. As a side note, when setting up your Facebook ads, make sure you check the box that reads, quote, exclude those that are already connected to your Facebook page, end quote. This way, you are not advertising to people who you are already connected to. You'd be surprised how many advertisers, including big chains, that do not check that box. Let's talk about memes. I first learned of memes in J. Conrad Levinson's book, Guerrilla Marketing. And even if I had not learned about it there, anyone with a Facebook page knows what a meme is by now. There are various definitions for what a meme is, but I find the best way to define it is simply give you an example. Has anyone on your friends list ever posted a picture with a funny caption? Ever see those pictures that read, quote, epic fail, or some animal with a caption underneath that reads, go ahead, make my day? Those are examples of Facebook memes. I find the funnier they are, the more likely they are to get shared. The more a meme you put out there gets shared, the more exposure you will get. Of course, the meme should somehow be related to your page. We recently released a meme depicting a praying mantis holding up a grasshopper as if he was grabbing and roughing him up. We put the caption on it, listen, grasshopper, thought I told you to stay out of this garden. Now, while that may not make sense to anyone who does not have a garden, those who do know that praying mantises eat insects, many of which could destroy your crops. So it is a depiction of something many vegetable gardeners are aware of, and we put a slight funny twist to it. Not all memes will gain traction, and others will take off like wildfire. Try to release at least one new meme weekly. You might be thinking, how does this get your page exposure? When your meme gets shared, which occurs by someone clicking the share link below it, on the person's wall feed, it will read, John Jones shared vegetable gardening's photo, with the words vegetable gardening being a link back to your page, and the word photo being a link back to the original meme from where the sharing all started. Once you have a growing list of followers, you want to be on their minds. Posting on Monday and not posting again till Friday is a quick way to lose the people that liked your page in the first place. I find posting at least twice per day keeps our page and our members' news feeds. Although posting something that gets people to respond with either a like or a comment, hopefully both, is ideal, a simple post such as click like if you like vegetable gardening will suffice on slow days. But you will want to create posts that spark conversation or helps educate your followers of your product, service, industry, or purpose. On the flip side, don't post too often because then you become a nuisance. I have dropped the number of major brands I was following because I was receiving posts from them every 10 minutes. That's overkill, and it's drowning out the feeds of friends and family members. I try not to do more than 2.5 hours between postings. I will, on rare occasion, break that rule if something important comes up and I need to get the information out there right away, but the 2.5 hour rule is what I stick by. If a great idea that's not urgent pops into my head and I want to share it with the page, I will load up the free version of a tool called Hootsuite, and that's spelled Hootsuite, and can be found at hootsuite.com, and schedule it out at the next 2.5 hour interval. Finally, engage with your followers. Social media is meant to be interactive. For my company, it has given me a great way to communicate with customers and potential customers, answer questions, respond to comments, and address concerns. And I've come up with these three tips. 1. When someone posts a question, try and answer it. If you don't have the answer, don't make one up. Do some research and get the answer. 2. You will get people to post criticism of you, your company, or your page. Some could be warranted if they had a bad customer service experience, but in today's write-what-is-on-your-mind online culture, it's unavoidable. Don't take it personally and never respond harshly to harsh criticism. A boss I had years ago when I worked as a software engineer in Princeton, New Jersey, gave me some valuable advice. When responding to a customer complaint via email or writing, write what is on your mind, then walk away from that letter for 24 hours. When you come back, after you've calmed down, you'll see how ridiculous the letter sounds. Same holds true for that Facebook post. 3. Unless your business surrounds them, keep your social, personal, and political beliefs separate from your page. There is an old saying that goes, the fastest way to lose friends is start talking about religion, politics, and money. While you may have a political affiliation, that is fine, but if it has nothing to do with your business, then there's no need to talk about it on your Facebook page. You get the point. Finally, last but not least, but last because it is the simplest way to increase your page count, ask your followers to share the page. If you've done all the work above and have made the page enjoyable, entertaining, and educational, your followers will be happy to share the page with their friends. Simply posting on your page's wall something like, quote, we are just 400 away from 5,000, share this page with your friends, and let's reach the milestone together, end quote, should do the trick. Thank you for listening to my podcast for bplans.com on increasing your social network following. Hopefully many of the ideas, tips, tricks, and techniques I have covered here will help you build up your following. Just remember, you can't do these items just once or twice and expect immediate results. You have to keep working at it and tweak them here and there to meet your needs.